Hosea is where we are. If you'll turn in your Bibles there. Appreciate the presence of everyone. To those who are visiting, we're glad that you're here. We pray that as we study tonight and we look at the Word of God, that we will understand that we're studying God's Word and understand the importance of us knowing God's Word so that we can be pleasing to God as we do our very best to live as God would have us to. Hosea prophesied concerning Israel during the reign of Jeroboam II. Though the people were self-confident, though they were at ease, though they felt secure, Hosea could see the evidence of weakness in Israel, and he knew, and what he spoke about was a forecast of the doom that would most certainly come upon that nation. And as you look at the book of Hosea, among other things that you learn is you can see within the book of Hosea steps that led to their apostasy. And I believe they're the same steps that lead to apostasy today. And that's what I'd like to do tonight, is just to look at four different passages in Hosea where we see the things that they did or failed to do that led to apostasy and eventually the fall of Israel. The first passage that I want us to look at is chapter 4 of Hosea, and we want to look at verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says this, as Hosea is prophesying, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." The first thing that we see that would lead to apostasy is the fact that they had a lack of knowledge. They did not know God's will. When I think about us today, I think about the religious world in general. I think about Christians specifically. If we fail to know God's will, then we're going to fall away. We're going to find ourselves in a situation where we are not following the teachings of God. Now, I will say that one problem that existed, it was the fault of the people to some extent, but it was also the fault of the priests. The priests had failed to teach the Word of God as they had the responsibility of doing. The books of the law were not common like we have our Bibles today. And the priests were not fulfilling their responsibility. Now, I want to say this on the part of the people. The people should have demanded that the priests teach them God's Word. But they were satisfied. And they did not require the priests to teach them the Word of God. You know, I hope as we're thinking, we can see that being a problem today. We don't ever want to get to the point that we're satisfied with what we're doing and we'd rather not hear what God's Word has to say, especially if it's some area that we need to make adjustments in or we need to make corrections in. The knowledge of God's law is absolutely essential if we are going to continue faithfully serving the Lord. Here are the verses, or at least some of the verses, from which Jimmy read just a few minutes ago that emphasize the importance of the law. Psalm 119, verse 98, "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." Verse 104, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Psalm 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And what those passages help us understand is the importance, the value of knowing God's law. We have to know God's law so we can recognize false ways. And what we should do is we should learn God's will to the point that it is so much a part of us that when somebody is teaching or saying something that is not what the Bible teaches or says, we ought to be able to recognize that. I'm not sure if I read this or if I heard someone else say this, but I understand that in the Treasury Department, what they do to teach those who work there to recognize counterfeits, that is counterfeit bills, they teach them to study the real, the genuine bill and become so familiar with the genuine bill that when a counterfeit comes across, they recognize it almost immediately. And that's the way we need to know God's law. We need to know God's law so that we can recognize counterfeits. Again, Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If we lack God's law, an understanding of God's law, we do not have wisdom. We do not have understanding. We do not have protection. We do not have light. We cannot be strong in the Lord without a knowledge of His Word. And even when it comes to our faith, I don't have several of the passages here on the screen tonight. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order for our faith to be fortified, for it to be strengthened, for it to be built up, we must study the Word of God. That's how faith is created and built. And when Israel lacked God's, or a lack understanding of God's Word, they were sitting ducks for the fiery darts of the devil. And we too, when we lack understanding of God's law, we are sitting ducks for the fiery darts of the devil. I appreciate Mark's prayer. One of the things that Mark said, and we have this prayed often as prayers are offered, and I think it's certainly appropriate. We pray for our elders, our shepherds, that they understand and study and know the will of God. I want to add to that. We need to pray that each of us, that we study and learn and know the will of God. It's absolutely essential. We must demand sound teaching. And we must study on our own that we can know God's Word. As we leave this point, I'll remind us of what is stated in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. As the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, he says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We want to be diligent to be approved of God. And the way we do that is by handling properly His Word. Let's go to a second passage in Hosea. This time let's go to Hosea chapter 5. And let's look at verse 5, and we see a second step that leads to apostasy. Hosea chapter 5, verse 5. "The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them." pride. Pride leads to apostasy. And as we have studied the book of Hosea, that is mentioned several times throughout the book. Ignorance is bad in a humble person. But when ignorance exists in a person who is proud, or a nation that is proud, or a church that is proud, you really have problems. And very often, ignorance and pride are combined. Apostasy, as a general rule, comes in times of security. Everything seems to be going well. Typically, that's when apostasy comes. Pride keeps us from recognizing the possibility of being wrong. I want to turn in my Bible, and certainly you may as well, to Luke chapter 18. And I want to read five verses that we will be familiar with, that helps us to understand and to see pride as it's being carried out in someone's life, as well as humility that's being carried out in someone's life, or a characteristic that individuals have. Beginning in verse 10 of Luke chapter 18, let me just read verse 9 as well. Speaking of Jesus, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, as we read those verses, what we see is the problem that the Pharisee had. His problem was pride. And we also see the quality of the publican. And the quality that he possessed was one of humility. Pride prevents improvement. If I think I know it all anyway, if I think I have the answers to everything anyway, then why do I need to try to improve myself? On the other hand, humility assures improvement. We recognize that we're sinful people. We recognize that there's always room for improvement. Always more that I can learn from God's Word. Always applications that I can make that I'm failing to make in my life when it comes to God's Word. Humility is essential if we're going to please God. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Bible says this, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's required of us. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We live in a very proud generation. More wisdom in some areas, more intelligence in some areas, more knowledge in some areas, more skill in some areas. But so far as knowing God's Word, understanding God's Word, obeying God's Word. The Christians that you read about in the first century reached a pinnacle of purity. And when we read through the New Testament, I hope we do so thinking there is so much more that I not only can do, I need to be doing. And all of that is to say is there is no room for pride. Showing up there, but not here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Let's go to our third verse, and this is also found in Hosea chapter 5, but this time I want us to look at verse 11. Hosea chapter 5, verse 11. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. He willingly walked by human precept. I believe it's the New American Standard Version that says he followed man's commands. And you know, that kind of follows, doesn't it? If a person doesn't know God's will, His law, and then on top of that a person is proud, he's puffed up, then the next thing naturally that follows is he's going to follow what man has to say. And that's a very, very serious mistake to be made. The Bible warns again and again and again against that. Let me just read several passages. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Not giving heed to seducing fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. Here is the warning that Paul gives to Titus. The next passage, Colossians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. The next passage, Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Here Jesus, as He's teaching, He makes this statement. And in vain they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. People were worshiping, but they were worshiping Him in vain. And one of the things that made their worship vain was the fact that they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way which seems right to man, but it is the end of death. We must not follow the commands of men. And again, can you see that progression? Here's a lack of knowledge. There is pride. And then the next step is following man's commands. And we see that all around us. That was the problem with Israel. Now, I want to say this. A lot of times, people follow man's commands without realizing that that's what's happening. If people are taught certain things and they don't look at God's Word to examine to see what God's Word teaches, and they're taught this by many people all of their lives, then they think what they're doing is right. And you know, I want to warn us. You know, and I'll just say it this way. If one of our preachers, whatever that means, or if one of our churches, or one of our papers or one of our colleges teach something, then surely it must be right. No, that's not what makes things right. I'm not saying because they're taught by these that I've mentioned that that makes it wrong. But that's not where we place our faith. That's not where we place our trust. Just because somebody that we have respect for teaches something doesn't necessarily make it right. That includes me. We have to make sure that what is taught is from God and not from man. That's true of the world, and it's also true of Christians, and that was true of Israel. And that was one of the problems that they had that led to their apostasy. And I might just say this. There are a lot of things going on in many churches that call themselves churches of Christ for which you can find no Bible authority. And if we do not have Bible authority for what we do, then the answer is we need to stop doing. A fourth passage. I'm not suggesting that we're doing. If I thought we were doing something that was we didn't have authority for, I would be saying something. But I'm just saying that the world in general, and even churches of Christ in general, do things, and people have become so used to them that they think that it's right, and yet there's no Bible authority. The fourth passage I want us to look at is in the 7th chapter of Hosea, this time verse 8. Hosea chapter 7, verse 8. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Again, what you have as a natural progression is they're being like the world. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. When a person lacks a knowledge of God's law, when a person is full of pride, when a person starts following man's commands, then he becomes so much like the world that there is no distinctiveness between the Christian and the world. That distinctiveness is lost. And that's what happens. Perhaps, and I'm saying perhaps, perhaps one reason the gospel doesn't appeal to people today, and I'm not saying that right. Let me say it a different way. So often in a lot of churches, even churches that call themselves churches of Christ, the teaching is not different from the world. The activities that the members engage in are not different from the world. The dress of Christians is not different from the world. The attitudes that Christians have are not different from the world. Their love for the world is not different from the world. And if there is no difference in us as children of God and the world, who they are children of the devil, if there is no difference in the two, then we might as well close our doors. There must be a difference. We cannot, as we are in the world, become like the world. And Israel became like the world around them. They talked like the world around them. They acted like the world around them. What they did was they broke down the distinctiveness that necessarily is there when you are a follower of God and the world is a follower of Satan. We must not allow that breakdown to occur. I want to mention the second part of that verse, verse 8 of chapter 7. Ephraim is a cake unturned. That's God's appraisal of Ephraim, of Israel. We talked about this Wednesday night in our Bible class. What comes to my mind, a cake half turned, is a pancake. Here's a pancake, you're cooking it. And you can see that it's getting cooked on one side because you can see the bubbles. And what you do is you take your spatula and you just flip it onto the plate and give to someone to eat. It's repulsive is what it is. And that's the description that God is giving of Ephraim. You're half-baked. You're half-cooked. And the Lord, He's not interested in the church looking good on one side. Maybe we have the right name. We are engaging in the right activities as far as our worship is concerned. When on the other side, what we are practicing, what we might be engaged in as far as activities are concerned, are not right in maybe engaging in immorality. A lack of respect for God's Word. Poor attitudes. Poor attitudes toward one another, poor attitudes toward others. Hypocrisy. That doesn't impress God. It's a cake half turned. It reminds me somewhat of Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where John, as he's writing, he mentions concerning the church at Laodicea. The Lord says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. What do you think about as you read the, I'm not asking anybody to comment, but as you read those things. And I hope as we read these things and I'll just level with you. I'll tell you what I think about me. You're talking about the church here. But you know who the church is? The church is made up of those who have been added to it by the Lord. The local church here at Somerville Road is made up of those of us who are members here at Somerville Road. Am I cold? That would not be good. Am I lukewarm? That just makes the Lord sick. It seems to me that what He's saying is, I wish you were one way or the other. That way people could at least see. But if we're lukewarm, we're kind of half in and half out. The Lord says, that makes me sick. And what I think about is, I think about Tim Sutton. What about Tim Sutton? And I hope every one of us, we're thinking that about ourselves. The influence of the world around us, if we allow the world, and I'm talking about the world as far as the flesh and those that are not concerned about doing right. They may claim to be concerned, but they're not concerned. They may claim to love God, but they don't keep His commandments. The influence of the world around us can have, and I think does, have a devastating negative effect upon the Lord's church. And we must not allow that to happen to us. Though God loved Israel, He still would not fail to punish them for their sins. Look in Hosea chapter 7, verses 11 through 3. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. God was going to hold Israel responsible. And He would not fail to punish them, though He loved them. When you come to the chapter 14, though God warned of punishment, He still offered mercy if they would repent. In chapter 14, which is the last chapter of Hosea, beginning with verse 1, O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity, your lawlessness, your sin. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods. For in you, that is in God, the fatherless finds mercy. And if their attitude was right, verse 4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. We have to heed the warnings as Israel was warned time and time again by Hosea and by other prophets. And if we find ourselves slipping, backsliding is a word that the New King James Version uses here in Hosea, then what we have to do is we have to reverse that process so that we can follow God's Word. We have to give up worldliness. That is, being like the world. We have to reject man's teaching, man's commands. We have to humble ourselves. And then we have to receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory now, both now and forever. A lot of lessons we can learn. As a matter of fact, what was written before was written for our learning. And I hope that we can learn the lessons in the book of Hosea. We're going to sing the song that has been suggested. Each of us needs to look at our own lives, look at our spiritual condition before God. If changes need to be made, let's make those changes. They may just need to be made between me and God. Certainly, I need to be praying for God's strength and His help as I live my life each day. I want to please Him. He loves us, just like He loved Israel. He wants to save us, just like He wanted to save Israel. But He will hold us responsible when we sin. And the answer to that is His children is we have to turn in repentance from that and seek His forgiveness. Stand and sing for our encouragement.